right. Well, I'm here. Sorry about that. Y'all used to having Brother Nathan here preaching during the Sunday school hour. He and Miss Sam headed out really, really, really early this morning. I think they had to get up at 3 o'clock or something, or got up at 2. I don't know. They had like a 6 o'clock flight at a BWI, so they had to go travel all the way down there this morning, flying to California. They'll be out there with you gain 3 hours. They'll be out there by 9:30 in the morning, their time. But half our day is already gone by then. But so you pray for them. They're going to be gone really most of the week. Come in the end of this week, and I guess I can give them up on a holiday like this. I get them all the rest of the year. But her mom and dad like to see them too. So you know how that goes. Anyway, let's take our Bibles here and turn to Isaiah 9. I'm sorry, that's not the right one. I pulled up the wrong one. All right, pulled up this one. Got two of them this morning. Luke 1. There we go. Luke 1. I knew that wasn't right. Luke 1, verse number 5. And let's have a word of prayer. And our lesson this morning is called Our Grief and God's Glory. Our Grief and God's Glory. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and I thank you so much for these folks being here this morning and getting up on Christmas Day and putting first things first. I just appreciate it very, very much. Lord, I pray that you bless our time, use it for your honor and for your glory, speak to our hearts, and give us what we need here this morning. I want to be encouragement to the folks. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I got a message here again that comes from a passage that's part of the Christmas story. It's not exactly a Christmas message, but I think it's something the Lord wants us to see. And so I'm going to read here, beginning in Luke chapter 1, verse number 5. And Luke chapter 2 is what you usually consider the Christmas story. But really the Christmas story really begins in Genesis, to be honest with you. But the order of things that actually starts kicking everything into gear begins in Luke. Chapter 1, and in verse number 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron," which also means that they, you know, Aaron was the lineage from all the priests and Levites came from, okay? So she was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years, which basically means it's all over. You know, it's never had any kids, and doesn't look like we're going to have any at this point, because we're past that age. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of the incense. Of course, the incense is a picture of the prayers of the saints going up to God. And so he was burning incense and they were out there praying. And the whole multitude of people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, verse 11, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked from me to take away my reproach among men. I want you to skip all the way over to verse number 57. Skip all the way over to verse number 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of the father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none in thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt among them, about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, and saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. They said, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Let's have a word of prayer here. Did we pray already? I prayed already, didn't I? All right, well, I guess I need it twice, but no, it's all right. We'll move on. I want you to see some things here this morning. Number one, in our Sunday school hour here, we're going to try to keep this quick. Well, let me go back here for a second. You got this couple who've served the Lord all their lives. I mean, they really have tried to do right. In fact, the Lord, his testimony to them is they were blameless. Now, they weren't perfect. They weren't sinless. But as far as their actions were concerned, they were able to subdue the sin and trust the Lord and do right, and the Lord has blessed them. But they never had a child. And you know, when there's something that you really assume is supposed to happen and you really want it to happen, and it's like, well, this is just never going to happen. And the point is, we just kind of cross it off. And be honest with you, I would dare say there was probably some tears shed in their household, especially early on when we really thought, you know, it should happen most any time. There's no reason for it not to. One of the greatest reproaches of a woman in those eras was not to be able to give birth to a baby. In fact, they hardly even felt like a complete woman if they couldn't do that. And that's not the case, but, you know, that's part of the culture. And let's just say there was grief in the household. No baby, not this month, not next month, not next month, not next month, not the next year, not three years later, 10 years later. And then it came to a point where, you know, the time of that part of life has passed, and still no babies, and so it's kind of, I guess that's who we're going to be. And there's grief. But I found something here, going back to our passage. We all go through times of grief, times when we feel like maybe the Lord's failed us. Things just didn't go the way we wanted it to go. But for Zacharias and Elizabeth, I want you to see that they stayed faithful. You know, they didn't get bitter toward God. They didn't stop following God. They didn't stop serving God. They kept praying. The Lord even said, I've heard your prayers. But they didn't stop serving. So first I want to say this is stay faithful, even when it seems a waste of time. What am I getting out of this? We're being faithful. I'm serving. I'm a priest. We have to live a certain life. What am I getting out of this? Well, the fact is, he gets to be the priest of God. He gets to have a relationship with God. What do you mean, what's the waste? We serve God. We serve the living God. We have a holy and a righteous God. We have one who loves us and cares for us, but I didn't get what I wanted. But he stayed faithful. They're too old to have kids at this point, so they're not spring chickens. He's been serving for a long time. But they didn't have any kids. But he was still faithful. Now, it's a normal thing for a family to want a baby, especially in this era of the history. Child born in a family to carry on the family name. But Zacharias and Elizabeth have been unable to have children for their entire marriage. And I'm sure there was grief over the years and tears shed. They had stayed faithful to the God and seemed to ignore the natural prayers. Faithful to the God that seemed to ignore their natural prayers, and the time of bearing children had passed. But being faithful, true faithfulness, has nothing to do with what we receive in return. Being truly faithful should have nothing to do with what we receive in return. When a couple gets married, they promise to be faithful. But nowhere in the vows does it say that faithfulness is contingent on the other one being faithful. We're going to be faithful. And they were faithful to the Lord. And they might not even thought that the Lord was being faithful to them, not fully. But they stayed faithful. True faithfulness is faithful even when it appears we're getting nothing in return. We can say that we have served the Lord, but we have not been faithful, then we have not truly served the Lord. We may have worked for the Lord as long as we had hope to get something out of it for ourselves, but once hope is gone, many cease to serve. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you are going to have to be faithful to the Lord. Zacharias and Elizabeth were faithful. Number two, when we have feel like we haven't gained anything, we've served for nothing, we live in grief. But wait a minute. The grief may bring about the glory of God. In fact, the greater the grief, the greater the glory. I hope you understand this. Verse 14, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. It is normal to rejoice at birth, but this was birth after many years of waiting, and once all real hope was gone. And the rejoicing was still going to come. Can you imagine? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is as a tree of life. Can you imagine how Elizabeth felt at that point, not having been able to have a baby all her life? And now when it actually is impossible, or at least we think it's impossible, she's going to have a baby. In fact, when the angel tells Mary, he says, you're going to have a baby. And she said, well, I'm still a virgin. He says, yeah, well, your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, which means this, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Not only was John going to be a miracle child, but he would be great in the eyes of the Lord. We just read it. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before them in the spirit of power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And of course, Zechariah says, How do we know this is going to happen? Yes, he was made dumb until the baby was born, but it's hard to give the guy any problems. I mean, you would probably do the same thing. I'd probably do the same thing. Okay, all right, how do we know this is going to happen? I mean, we've been praying for this for a long time. Don't mess with me here. Don't jerk my chain. I mean, we're hoping to have a baby, but I mean, it all sounds good, but man, I don't know if this is going to happen. It was so far-fetched that when it happened, everybody knew it was a God thing. See, that's just it. We don't realize that the things that we go through, all we see is what's happening to us. We don't necessarily see it as others see it, or as God is trying to make it come about. The greater the grief sometimes, the greater the glory. Because listen, I'm sure they grieved. I'm sure they had a heart grief. And yet the Lord brought it back. And what glory it gave God. What is it? Shows God who he is. He can do it anytime, at any point in life that he wants to do it. So number three, life had not turned out as it was planned. Life had not turned out as it was planned. It was easy for us to be disappointed in what our lives have turned out to be. Life had not turned out like everyone else's lives. At least what hadn't for Zacharias and Elizabeth. Maybe your life hasn't turned out the way you thought it was. It should have been. Maybe you feel cheated. Maybe you feel deserted by God. We may feel jealous of others who were blessed with a normal life. An extraordinary life cannot be like everyone else's life, or it wouldn't be extraordinary. And many times our plans are short-sighted. Of course, if it involves a miracle of God, it's pretty difficult to plan that out or even see it coming. But the fact is, we say, I just want what everybody else has. Well, listen, maybe God wants to do something special with you. Maybe he's using you to bring glory to him, that others can see Christ living out his peace and his love for you through your life in the midst of the things of your grief. Sometimes you ask yourself, why did our lives turn out like this? Maybe we caused a problem and made some unwise decisions, and we were the cause that our lives were not what we expected to be. But maybe we served the Lord the best we knew how and followed the Lord and was faithful and still didn't turn out as we had planned. But watch me. At that point, it could be that our lives turned out as the Lord had planned. Maybe it didn't turn out the way you planned, but maybe it turned out the way the Lord planned. We are not the only ones that have a plan for our lives. I believe that Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah late in life, past childbearing years, in order for them to know that the child was from God. You know the story of Abraham and Isaac? And Sarah couldn't have a baby. Finally, she had Isaac. Late in life. Past the childbearing years. But God had a plan. In fact, I think that the baby was born so late in life that everybody knew God had a plan. This is not normal stuff. I believe that Joseph was born late in the life of his mother Rachel, so that all would know that he was a special child from God and that God had a plan. Hannah gave birth to Samuel after much prayer, so all knew the child was from God. And when he served the Lord in a mighty way, just as a child, I'm sure many times they thought back, oh, I remember Anna prayed for a child. She wanted a child so badly. And then she said, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I believe that John was born after Elizabeth's childbearing days in order to set this child apart in the eyes of the world on him. Life may have not turned out the way Zechariah and Elizabeth had planned, but their lives turned out the way the Lord had planned. Number four, remain faithful in the grief. I don't know where you're disappointed and things didn't turn out the way you expected, but remain faithful to the Lord. We cannot determine that the Lord is good by how close our lives turn out in comparison to our plans. Let me say that again. We don't determine the Lord's faithfulness and how good he is by how close he got to our plans. He has a plan. We need to give that over to him. Sometimes life brings grief. Job 13:50, y'all know the story of Job and all that went through him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though everything goes wrong in life, I'm going to follow him. He's still Lord. If they had not remained faithful, Elizabeth and Zechariah, if they had not remained faithful, I don't believe they would have been given the privilege to be the parents of John. I don't think so. God would have used somebody else because he knew they weren't going to remain faithful. But they did remain faithful. They stayed focused. They stayed on task. They didn't let down just because of the little bit of grief that came because they couldn't bear a child. They would have died believing that the Lord had forgotten them and that praying was in vain. You understand that? If they had not remained faithful, I don't believe that they would have been given the privilege of giving birth to John. But they would have died saying, the Lord failed us. Their focus was not so much on the baby, though there was a focus on there. Their focus was on the Lord. And they wanted to serve the Lord. And so they served the Lord no matter what the Lord gave them in return. Now, I think there's an awful lot of folks who kind of give up on serving the Lord, and then the end of their life, they say, see, it wasn't worth the service of the Lord. He let me down. Well, maybe he let you down because you stopped being faithful. Huh? Maybe we stop being faithful, we stop seeing God working in our lives. Don't blame God. You're the one who walked away. Listen, God is faithful. We know where he is. He's on the earth with his eyes looking to and fro to see him who he can show himself faithful to. And show his strength too. To those who are perfect in heart. In other words, they are really truly seeking the Lord. But they're going to miss the blessings if they're not truly seeking the Lord. I'm sorry. Don't blame God. Don't blame the Lord Jesus if you're not getting everything you want. First of all, maybe it's not good for you to get what you want. But secondly, did you turn your back on him? Remain faithful. They would have died never knowing, much less seeing the blessings that the Lord had planned for them. And I wonder how many folks have come to the point that they have had enough and they stopped serving the Lord and never see the blessings that the Lord had planned for them. Because they did not remain faithful. We should always be abounding, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't stop relying on God. Don't say, well, I'm not seeing what I want to see. I'm going to head out of here and do something else. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And prayer is utter dependence upon God. So pray without ceasing. In other words, constantly being in dependence upon God. Not dependence upon yourself, but dependence upon God. Now, I know we have a job to do, and God may ask us to do it. We need to do our part. But who's going to bring it to fruition? It's the Lord God who's going to bring it to fruition. Now, I want to do one little thing here. I'm going to actually get done early. Look at that. That's a new one. It's a Christmas miracle. Finally. Now, they had grief. The Lord didn't bless as they expected the Lord to bless. There was no child. So what do you do now? Well, you serve. You do the same thing you were supposed to be doing before. And finally, watch this. It is worth the wait. It's worth the wait. In Matthew 11, you want to turn to that real quick. You've got time for that. Matthew 11, 7. Matthew 11, 7 to 11. 11, 7 to verse 11. It says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Now, John's grown up. John has been preaching the gospel. He'd been preaching the baptism of repentance. And they're saying, this John guy, you know, he's kind of weird. You know, he dresses weird. He lives out in the desert. He eats locusts and honey. This guy is kind of a little strange. And he said, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? When you went out to look for John, what did you expect to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In other words, this little scared puppy in the bushes or something, you know, is that what you expected? You kind of expected him just to kind of lay low, be nice. Let's see. Now, he was a man who said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Go forth and bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Listen, he was no sissy. And he was willing to stand right up to the religious leaders because they were giving out the wrong truth, if you will. He said, who did you go out to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Oh, you're looking for somebody who's a preacher and he dresses all real fine and has some ruffles in his collar there. And is that what you were looking for? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are they in the king's houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yeah. I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than the John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. But there is no greater born of woman. Elizabeth didn't think she could have a baby. Zacharias didn't think so too. And he waited a long time. And I'm sure it was many hours of grief. But in the end, what great glory their child brought to the Lord. In fact, Jesus himself says there's no one greater born of woman than John. The things have to be really bad before God gets great glory, seems like. God has allowed things to look like it's impossible. And then he gets the glory. When we see things that only God can do, he gets the glory. I don't know about you, but there's an awful lot of people that I know have come to a point in their life they're saying, well, it's all over for me. This is it. I blew it. It's done. Might as well write Ichabod across my doorpost. It's all over. And the reason is because we think we're too far gone for God to do anything with us. Elizabeth wasn't too far gone. God says, I got a job for you, one more job. You got a lot of diapers to change, Elizabeth. You're probably going to have to get up in the middle of the night. He's warming up his voice to preach. And I can get any sleep sometimes. I bet there's some times when little John started to wake up and got going and got getting the lungs going, he probably thought, what in the world did I pray for? But what a great glory. People all know, listen, Zechariah and Elizabeth got their names in the Bible, did you? Great glory. Great grief. Heart-wrenching grief. But great glory. Shows God who He is. Do you realize that really because Elizabeth went years and years and years and years and years without a baby, that because that she had to go through the grief, that the impact of John the Baptist was greater. Because they said, you know what, I know he's kind of a crazy guy, you know, but he's had such power in his preaching. All of Jerusalem would come out to see him. And I'm sure that some of them knew that, you know, they were around and said, that's Elizabeth. Remember Elizabeth? She couldn't have any kids. She was old. She was old before he was even born. Zechariah, you remember that? Remember how they were going to call him Zechariah after his father? He said, no, we're going to call him John. The whole story. Maybe there's some truth to all this. Greater the impact, greater the glory, because greater the grief. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life, but there's probably grief, things that you don't want in your life occurring. They're occurring. Now, you've got to remain faithful. Stick it out. Just keep going. I don't know if the Lord's going to answer that particular prayer that you've been praying or not. But I tell you this, there's a whole lot better chance He's going to do it if you're faithful to Him than if you're not. Maybe the plan for God's glory is to take you through life without any kids. Somehow that will bring glory because you have been willing to accept life as it is, and God, they see the grace of God on you. Maybe the hope is deferred so that everybody can see when the baby comes, it must be God. I don't know what it is in your life, but God's got something for you. And the grief is part of the plan, unless we went out and caused ourselves grief. I will say that there are some people who go out there and they do foolish things and they get themselves in trouble. And it's, well, God's got a plan. Well, the plan didn't include you sinning. I'm sorry, but the plan, that wasn't part of the plan. However, you turn your life back over to Him. Surrender. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then He has a way of making all things work together for good to those who love God who are called according to His purpose. He can make use of those years that we've wasted. And sometimes He gives us back the years the locust ate. Now don't count on that. But sometimes he does. Point being, be faithful through the grief. It'll bring God the glory.